Peace in family, it's your brother from another motherland, Mr. Mikel, the energy, and you are now tapped into spiritual health with Mikel, where I deep dive into spiritual conversations that many people are not talking about, family. Let's get into it right now. Enjoy, leave a comment, hit me up, and if you want to tap into our community, Warojo House, go to warojohouse.com and join us in this spiritual game. Peace in, love out. Jeez! Oh Lord, it's that time again, family. Peace in, Nakumaisha family. I pray you're well, in spirits, here in rhythm, on breath, family. We're about to get into it. As usual, we're here for the conversation of spiritual health. I was supposed to go live just a little bit earlier, but there were some technical issues, family, because we out here building, family. A lot of building going on. A lot of special things are happening right now in the motherland, which are all going to be unfolding. Right now, we are preparing this space and these spaces, safe spaces for you, my Warojo family, the African diaspora all around the world, for you to come to the motherland and have a space, man, where you can let go, man, where you can enjoy the luxury of nature, enjoy like-minded people and spaces, family, that's really going to help you understand your own beauty, understand, you know, your natural luxury, family. And that's what this platform is all about. That's what these spaces are all about, family. So I want to welcome you, family, to this new season of Spiritual Health Games by Warojo House. This season, family, we're diving in to the wonderful topic known as sexuality, family. We ain't batting no eyelids. We're going to go straight in. So what I want for this course is that people come with questions that we can navigate surrounding this topic of sexuality, family. We're going to be having some guests, people talk. We're going to be doing some programs starting in May. And yeah, what my intention here is to really provide a space where we can open up certain dialogue around sexuality, around masculinity, around femininity, and how that operates with us in our natural self. So if anyone has any questions, make sure you load them up, because this hour is all about us and it's dedicated to this conversation, family. So this season, as you know, we always like to present the laws of Ma'at, because these laws are the foundations of the reality we get to experience, family. You know, I'm here in the motherland right now, and the more and more I study this and the more and more I live and experience Africa, is the more and more I see that this is the foundation. You know, we often ask ourselves, what was we doing before we found Christianity, or Christianity found us? What was he doing before Islam found us? And why is it that we take to these religions so easily? Well, family, our way of life, which our ancestors called Ma'a, which you can find as a culture all around Africa and indigenous cultures around the world, that was our true religion. And these other religions that came in actually complemented this. That's another thing, like, I want people to understand, whatever religion you are, I believe that if you study the laws of Ma'at, you will have an even greater understanding of the importance of the religions that you've grown up in. You understand the life of Jesus and the behavior of Jesus. Once you understand these laws, the things that Jesus said and done, whether you believe in him or not, let's take him as a character, right? Make so much sense when you understand the laws of the spirit, you see? Because it's objective. You see what I'm saying? So these laws will apply everywhere and anywhere. Does that make sense, family? The same in Islam. Yeah? Truth is truth. And the word ma'a means truth. Yes? So if it's true, then it should be able to be observed with or without you reading this, or with or without you having the knowledge that it exists. You see? And that's the discourse that we're opening up in this space. That's what we want to get into with this teaching. So every season I dedicate an area or a topic where we can use the ma'at to refine and reason on an area of our life that really affects our spiritual health. You see, we've done this with money and business. We've done this with education. We've done this with mindset, goal setting, vision planning. This season, we're going to be doing it on sexuality, family, because if I'm honest, there's no other subject that's more important to dive into, especially in this era of life where we've entered into a new experience of the world. Thus, that which was before, i.e. education, entertainment, religion, family, money, it's all changing. And sex, whether we know, like it or not, is a big part of that conversation. And so I am putting myself forward to be a leader in this area and open up conversation, family, as I honestly navigate it for myself as well. I don't believe that the traditional boxes of sexuality fit most of us, but what we're not gonna do is allow someone else to come and define our sexual trajectory. That would be moving backwards. You see, the person who oppressed your sexuality in the first place cannot free you in that space. It's an impossibility and an impractical pursuit. So whilst we know that the conditions around our sexuality no longer fit, right, we have to go on a discourse that allows us to define our sexuality for ourselves as it pertains to our culture and our future of self. Does that make sense? Navuta? None? Oh, Kofua. Yeah, we in the game, family. So we out here, family. Right now we're in the motherland, like I said, on the east side, and we're gonna get into this conversation. So at any point, family, if you guys want to throw in questions, put them in the question box, because the questions are very important for the prompts. If I'm being honest, I can go at this from a million different ways, but the refinement and the reasoning should come from one to the other. So call and response. So this space has been opened up, so feel free to fire away at any questions. So we're going to be doing a 21-day challenge, right? Coming up soon. I'm going to be announcing that. And then we're going to be doing a spiritual program all dealing with masculine and feminine union and the embodiment of the sexual game. So in regards to ma'at, right? Ma'at is dealing with harmony. Now, when you look at sex, the definition of sex, family, is the game or the flow between masculine and feminine and what they create as a result. You see, it is about those polarities engaging with each other to find harmony. If you locked off this live right now, very simply, what I'm trying to explain to you and what I want us to begin to start meditating on when it comes to sexuality is that it's all about the harmony of polarities. Each one of us are made of a polarity. And in that, we are to find harmony within that polarity, thus creating a beautiful sexual experience. Does that make sense, family? So, bless. So, this is where ma'at comes in, because this is what it's about. So when you look at ma'at, you even see, for example, masculine and feminine archetypes of the same principle. And playing the sexual game outside of, you know, we could get into all the levels. All right, let me do this. So, when someone says they're having sex, watch this. If sex is the game of masculine and feminine in unity, right? If sex is the harmony of masculine and feminine. And currently, when we say the word sex, we are looking at, you know, what I like to do with what I'm blessed with. You know what I'm saying? And what woman go get it. You know what I'm saying? But if you look at the laws of the spirit, there's 11 levels to who you are spiritually. And your physical body, put a flame if you're in the game, family. If you're following me right now, put a flame if you're in the game, because we're about to go in. Your physical body is, let's see. I want to see where my people are on this. Your physical body. Your physical body is where? Which number represents your physical body? Remember, sex is the game of masculine and feminine. And masculine and feminine, in harmony, have nothing to... Well, not nothing. Should I say masculine and feminine can be observed everywhere. Right? So your physical body is where? Number 10. Thank you. Your physical body is number 10. So right there and there, you get to observe the limitations of our sexuality. If sex itself is the dance between masculine and feminine, right? But the only time we engage with sex consciously is in the last level of the spirit, which has no power over other parts of the spirit. Your physical body in all its magnificence. Me, I love my body. I love my face. I love how I look. I like how I smell. I like how I sound. I like the way my eyes. I love everything about myself, right? But the physical body has no power over other levels of the spirit. None. It's the last part. It's the total sum. It's the product. It's the fruit. You see? Do you get what I'm saying? It's the fruit. Full of pleasure and goodness and richness and nutrition, but doesn't have power over the higher levels of the spirit. So when we're dealing with my dad, bro, So when we're dealing with sexuality, family, we're doing ourselves a disservice if we're only, do you get it? I know some of, put a flame if it's hitting you right now. Put a flame if you're in the game, family. Think about it. Sex is the dance between masculine and feminine. Masculinity and femininity are energies. And as we all know, energy cannot be created or destroyed. You know what I'm saying? It continues and transmutes itself into different spaces. So we know that sex is the energy exchange of masculine and feminine, right? The sacred exchange between masculine and femininity. But right now, it's about where does Mikhail like to... If today someone comes up to you and go, oh, what's your... If I say... look, I'm forgetting the terminology. If someone says, what's your sexuality? Let me ask you, Jeff. What's your sexuality? Okay. Jeff says he's straight. Yeah? Why are you straight?
Because I find the feminine will be more attractive.
You find women attractive? Yeah? Meaning what? Can you look at a man and say a man's beautiful? Like, do you ever look at a man and say, oh, he's good looking? No, I'm saying to yourself, can you acknowledge that this guy is a good-looking guy?
Yeah.
You can. So what's the difference for you between the attraction between a man and a woman? You saying you're definitely into women. What does that mean for you?
Okay, probably I think look at it more deeper than that.
Yes.
I find the feminine body has more curves. It has more curves than shape, you know, sharp angles.
Shape and figure.
So it's more appealing to the eye.
So it's appealing to you. So you get aroused by the feminine. Yeah. You don't, even you could say a man is good looking, you're not aroused by a man. Okay, so you're aroused by the woman. So that means you're straight. Right? Yeah. So when we're dealing with our sexuality, we only talk about our sexual identity based on who arouses us. Right? That's it. Where do I want to put my dick? Right there. That means I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? So that's, so, you know, in terms of the laws of the spirit, that's looking at one aspect, because our physical body only manifests at number 10. So yeah, I'm straight because I like women, but like, that's the final game. Does that make sense? It's natural for me to be into women because I'm a divine masculine. To play the sexual game on a physical level, I have to pair myself with a woman, right? But outside of the physical level, that no longer exists. Does that make sense? That no longer exists. And so that pairing of masculine and feminine happens, it now opens up in such a wider space. Does that make sense? But in terms of biology, this is made for that vagina. You guess? This is made, it's designed for that vagina. Do you get what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that we only tend to, when we're talking about our sexuality or defining it or describing it, it's only limited to that. And I'm saying this discourse and this conversation, and we're going to go, this rabbit hole we're going to be going down for the next month or so, is all about growing in awareness of how the sexual game operates above the physical body. Because if I told you, right, you've never seen this before, but there's 11 levels to your spirit, right? It's the tree of life, exactly. So you know, I love these people. Me, I attract the good, the people everywhere, you know. We in the motherland, all right. It's the tree of life, so exactly. So number 10 is your body. That's your penis right there. Do you get what I'm saying? Number 10. But there's how many other levels? You can't just tell me that if sex is the dance between masculine and feminine, you can't just tell me that it can only happen with your body at the last level. As powerful as sex is, right? It can't, if sex is as powerful and transformative. Sex is what brings everything into life. Watch this. Let me say it like this. Sex is what brings the tree of life into motion. Sendio, right? Because sex is what allows you to call a soul from other realms into the physical realm. So that means when we lie down with our women and we create, we become God. We become God. Because we call spirits into being. Yeah? So if that physical interaction has the power to call these 11 laws into being in a person, then it shows you that sex has another level, can be engaged in all these levels. And this is what we want to understand. We want to expand our awareness of how sexuality works and operates uniquely in all of us outside of our favorite positions. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Outside of doggy style, you know what I'm saying? and all the other nice positions we like to, you know what I'm saying? Outside of that, what's the other positions called? What do you call, like up here, right? When you get to number 5, is karma. What's the sexual position Like, in you get what I'm saying? Because now we're talking. This is, number 10 is physical. Number 10 is literally about your physical reality, your senses, right? So, yeah, me, I like to grab that ass. You know what I'm saying? I like to, you know, play with the, you know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? I got some favorite positions. I like, there's some ways that I like it too. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to grab my back. You know what I'm saying? While we're there. You know what I'm saying? Wrap your legs around me. You get what I'm saying? Okay, that's cool. We know that one. We've been in that one. We got a lot of curricula. Everybody knows the websites to go if you're running out of physical position. We're not strapped for... Semakweli. Yeah? Everyone knows if we... Everybody's got the websites that they need to go, the Twitter handles, the Instagram pages. If you're running out of positions, you know where to go. But who's going to tell us what the sex looks like when we get to karma, when we get to interdependence, when we get to emotional power, when we get to divine wisdom, when we get to universal consciousness, when we get to peace? What's the sex called? Name the position. We don't know, you know what I'm saying? So this is what we want to define. This is what we want to become aware of, because I promise you, this is the objective of this discourse, is that by the end of this discourse, we should be able to experience what we experience when we lay down with our sexual partners, that physical pleasure. We should be able to know how to navigate that in our everyday life, where you can sit back and be like, your eyes are just wide because you're oozing sexuality on all levels, not just here. And don't get me wrong, down here, we ain't never gonna leave that out. You know what I'm saying? But watch this. Here's the truth. This is ordered into hierarchy, right? And it starts at zero, yeah? The higher the number, like one has the most power over the numbers below it. Two, zero, it's here, it's not written there, but it's there because it's imperceptible, yeah? Two has power over 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Four has power over 5, 6, 7, 8. Five has power over 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, it's not, it's just there. It's the total sum of all of it. So you can't even enjoy. You know what fucked me up the most? Let me be real, right? You know what messed me up? Is like, I like sex, right? But I couldn't get over how I'd feel having sex in scenarios where I felt like there was an imbalance. Meaning, like, you know, like, as men, we know when we ain't got no good intentions for a woman other than getting the nut. Do you get what I'm saying? And that used to bother me. Do you get what I'm saying? I'd find myself battling between my desires, like, ooh, this girl is nice and she's on it. You know, and because of how I reserve myself, I get women push themselves more. But I could, after doing that so often, I start realizing, hold on, this isn't just. And I can see that, because a lot of women will lie about this, but they can't remove them. Their experience of sex is different to us. And so we, and sometimes we can't, even me, I'm not good at this, but we have more of a capacity to have sex and leave it at the door. They don't have that capacity. Their expectation is to have someone as a partner, especially when you are someone who's actually a quality man. So me, I used to feel bad about doing that. And then you go down the whole pornography route. Again, the moment of pleasure doesn't equate to the hours or days of discomfort, because there's a lack of wholeness in the experience. So the question that kept arousing in me was, how does this feel so good, but thereafter doesn't feel good? And that would be whether that's a woman I know that I don't have holistic intentions for. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, she's nice, and I'm trying to get involved. You get what I'm saying? Or whether it's a discourse into pornography. You get what I'm saying? It's like, this feels amazing. This feels like how life is supposed to feel. When you're having good sex, it's like, this is life. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there is nothing better than this on the planet. But if it's not holistic, meaning, if it's, for me at least, if it's not, if that engagement goes against the rest of my intentions for myself, it doesn't feel good. And so for me, what I was saying is, this last part of the spirit, number 10, is all about pleasure. It's all about sensation. It's all about the electromagnetic experience we have as we go through life. That shit won't feel good sustainably if we don't have the other levels intact. If we're not in harmony, you know, with the rest of the levels of our spirit, then what we experience as pleasure will be short-lived and somewhat like bittersweet. And I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. You know, so it became like my personal mission to be like, well, how do I enjoy this shit without the other stuff? And so it became more about experiencing myself and my sexuality, my creativity, and my engagements on higher levels of the spirit. So it wasn't all just locked into one thing, if that makes sense. Let's go with the questions. Jeff's got a question. Jeff's a graphics designer out here in Kenya. If you're looking for some Kenyan graphics designers, he's your guy. But check this out. Put some questions in the question box, because I see you guys dropping some stuff. So put your questions in the question box. Jeff's got a question. We're going to start with Jeff and get it in.
So like all those 10 laws, are they 11?
Yeah, 11, but it starts from 0 to 10. Yeah.
So they're the universal laws.
Yeah, yeah.
So it means that like they exist like,
everywhere. Yeah. Even in religions, you'll find all of these. Every, yeah.
But we're supposed to like understand it and now start practicing it.
Yeah.
Like attain a balance, or maybe, how can I call it? Like, should I say a true awakening? When you, let's say you can visit all those, you know how your emotion,
yeah,
physical, mm-hmm. Like, I believe they're connected.
Yes, they are.
So, is it that now, since we're talking about sexuality, should it manifest itself in both partners for you to realize, like, the sexy, let's say, the karma state? Let's say me, I'm awake, and probably I know that like, there's a possibility of us engaging in sex in a different kind of level.
Yeah.
Should my partner also be, like, in a level to know it, or is it just me? Just
that's dope. All right, let me repeat the question. So he's saying that if we're studying these laws, and we have become aware of ma'at in ourselves, and we are in the practice of ma'at in our own lives, and we've created a sense of harmony within ourselves, in the subject of sex, should our partners also have a knowledge of ma'at and be on that journey as well? The best answer is of course, because again, it helps with the engagement. Now, however, because, watch this, and this is powerful, because yes is the answer, right? However, because ma'at represents natural law, yeah, you can help someone engage with the laws of ma'at and find harmony within themselves just by engaging with you. Because it's like a, it becomes a rhythm. You know, like yawning. If I yawn, you're yawning. You see, it's almost like you become a reflection through you, through your emotional intelligence, for your ability to go back to peace, for your ability to put the will of God before your own desires. You see, with your ability to resolve conflict, your ability to go into meditation and use your imagination constantly to design your life, whoever's next to you is going to pick that up. You get it? Especially if they want to continue to engage with you. If they don't, you'll become a disagreeable person to them. But if someone who's with you, for example, and it doesn't have to be sexually, even like a business relationship, right? If that's how you're practicing, they're going to observe that. They might not call it ma'at because you may not be saying that to them, but they will begin through osmosis, be like, "Rah, I love the way Jeff handles that shit, and I see that his life just does." Do you know what? Next time, I'm not gonna let my emotions just move me. I'm gonna take a breath. I'm gonna take a breather and be like, "This is what I'm gonna do." I watch how anytime some bad shit happens to Jeff, he just maneuvers, designs that bad experience into some next positive affirmation that totally changes what happened. So to the point where the bad experience was a positive one for him now. That's a part of the laws. You get it? So there's also walking the walk. And that's for me the most important thing. It's like, I use this as a reference point. People can go and study. But it's like, I want to practically show people how to live it to the point where it becomes just the way. If everyone, like when you come to Africa, for example, this is a good example. There's certain customs in Africa that people aren't telling you to do. You just realize, oh shit, every time someone comes to a house, they take off their shoes. Maybe I shouldn't walk in here with my Jordan 4s all muddy. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm going to take a, you do it once or twice and you realize, oh shit. Like the guy you was just outside with drinking, smoking, listening to all kind of, as soon as you walked into this person, they took off his shoes. So if, and you're like, maybe you're like the you're like the vegan out of your friends, you're the Buddha, but you didn't know that custom. So now you're scratching, hey, this guy, he's the most foul person I know, but even him, when he enters these houses, he's taking off his shoes. Wow, maybe I've missed something. Let me just, you know what I'm saying? Another custom. This is why culture is so important, because you pick it up through rhythm. Another custom. Anytime you're about to eat, what happens? You wash your hands. Me, where we're from, it's like, I want that. You know what I'm saying? Wash your hands. If people come with the ndo and the maji, done. You wash your hands. And then, what's the next custom? Eating with your hands. That's crazy. If it ain't chicken or sandwiches, we're not eating with our hands. But here, you see people eat with their hands. You watch how that becomes, that's a sexual engagement. That's a very intimate engagement. Eating with your hands and everyone's dipping in the same thing with their hands. They've all washed their hands. It becomes a way to connect people intimately. But I'm saying, no one has to sit you down, like no one has to bring you to like a temple and say, you know, when you go into an African's house, you take off your shoes. And if you're visiting friends, you bring something for the house. You get? And if you are expecting guests, you offer your guests something. There's no school for that. It's just the thing. You get? Eating with your right hand is also the thing. So in the same way, we want the ma'at, we want them to become practices, not just statements on a piece of paper that sound good, but when real life shit hits your fan, you now back to the same old cruddy ways, because then it doesn't work. It's not true. If it's true, when it comes to you, it should feel normal. It should, you know what I'm saying? It should feel like it should hit you. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, put some questions, family. Let's get some questions in. We've got about 15 minutes left. Put some questions. You got another question? Did that answer your question? Ah, sick. Let's ask some more questions. Put some questions in there, family. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about sexuality as it pertains to the nature of our spirit, our spiritual nature, sexuality. How does sexuality appear, express itself? How is it navigated on higher levels of the spirit. We know that our body, our physical body, is the last part of the spirit family. And we've become very astute in where to put our genitalia. You know what I'm saying? We've become so creative. You know, we talk about sex. We just become creative. How not to get pregnant. How to last longer. This is a pill to keep you erect. This condom makes the girl feel like this. This toy makes the woman feel like that. This ring will help the man do this. Put it in this part and she goes like that. You know what I'm saying? Put it in the mouth. Listen, we become experts on that shit. But I think where we lack is the other levels, which I think will allow us to enjoy. Because as much as we be having sex out here and all the freaky shit that we do, and I'm into it, yeah? So I'm not degrading it. I'm into it. I'm in. But we're not happy. And sex, for as pleasurable as it is, should be helping us cultivate heaven. For how good we are at sex, or how knowledgeable we are at sex, the physical act, we should be living in heaven, because everyone should just be happy. But we're not, because we are putting the cart before the horse. You get it? The horse is these higher levels of the spirit. The highest one being our ability to be at peace, meaning no emotion can overcome us at all whatsoever. That is our nature. Let's go. Yeah.
The Hinduism art of Kama Sutra and stuff.
Tantra .
So like the positions, I believe, when you're engaging in sex, I don't know if it's right. So this is the question. Do they like this position, like try and awaken the other aspects of the whole tree?
Listen, let me tell you something. Let me not let anyone get it twisted. So I think, let me paraphrase, because I don't think they can hear you. He was asking about like Kama Sutra and all these like sexual positions and methods. He's asking if those can help awaken higher levels of the spirit. The answer is no. Real talk. I'm going to say that. Real talk. I'm going to say it. Because, you know, damn, I've been doing this for a long time, yeah? So let me talk. I've been doing this for... When I was 16, yeah, there was a book going around in our community. It was called The Min Priesthood. If you know about The Min Priesthood, you are from the roots. But I don't know if anyone on this live knows about The Min Priesthood, yeah? The Min Priesthood was basically a Bible, right? On sexual... You can't find it. Don't even write it down. You will never find this book. I promise you, you won't find it. If you find it, you are Jesus in the flesh. You won't find this book. It's not possible. It's out of print. Like, it doesn't exist. You got to find someone in a hut somewhere who owns it. But anyway, long story short, there was a bare sexual position in this book. And I was like, yes, finally, I found something that's going to help me spiritually. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a book was put together by this spiritual community. Right? No is the answer. Because the physical body, put it this way, those sexual positions can only help you when you understand yourself at higher levels of the spirit. If you are not used to traveling to higher levels of the spirit, like without the agency of drugs, psychedelic substances, if you're not used to going there just like this, then physical sex cannot help you. It can't. You can experience something, but you won't even know what you're experiencing to get it. It would just be like, because you can't, you have to be able to do that on your own. Because what changes your relationship with a woman, divine masculine, divine feminine, what changes it is your own relationship with masculine and femininity in you. If you're dealing with a woman, you got to know when to be soft. You got to know when to be hard. You got to know when to be, you know, you got to know when to be fully on your shit and like not not bending for nothing. Then you got to know when to yield. That takes an understanding of self. It's got nothing to do with the other person. You get what I mean? So those books, that's why back in the day, it's just that we live in a time that doesn't respect sanctity and initiation. Those texts and those books were usually left to people who have studied a certain level of priesthood or a certain level of spirituality, and then those informations are revealed to them because now the physical body can engage at that level. You can't give the common man and common woman, you know what I'm saying? Well, we've done it now. That's why a lot of people are confused, because we're putting the cart before the horse. I get it. And like I said, at 16, I was reading them books, spitting game on these girls, talking about, yeah, you know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know about this position, la, la, la. It's going to help us connect to this. And that's just my ignorance.
What if you go to higher psychedelics and try this?
Say that again?
What if the both of you are higher psychedelics?
Again, even psychedelics, I will say this again. These are tools, but they can only help you as far as your own consciousness will allow you to go. The big issue with psychedelics now is that people are engaging them without a proper curriculum for understanding and navigating what is being revealed once you take the psychedelics. Herbal tea can get you there if you understand, if you're not, if your consciousness is, you get it? Herbal tea, thyme, you get what I'm saying? Lavender can get you to these certain spaces if your own consciousness, if you've been training yourself in that way. And then psychedelics is going to just bring you to a whole nother understanding of self. But what's happening now is people are taking psychedelics as Jesus. It's the new Jesus. You go there, you meet Jesus, so to speak, right? You meet this, you come back and be like, ah, Jesus is not here no more. That's not the point of psychedelics. That's not the point even of religion. Religion is like there so you can do the work, but everyone's waiting for Jesus to come and do the work for them. The same with the second, you've taken the same brain that waits for Jesus, and now you give that person mushrooms or ayahuasca, and they go, yeah, my new Jesus is called mushrooms. My new Jesus is called ayahuasca. And it's not. These, like the religion, the Bible, the Quran, mushrooms, psychedelics of the natural order, they're all there to expand your awareness and to inspire you to do what you've come here to do. And no one can fulfill your journey for you. No one. There's no vagina wet enough to do that. I'm telling you. And that's, it's funny, but that's the realization we all come to. If I can, like, have you ever been with a woman, yeah? And you swore that was heaven. And being with that woman, like, sexually was the answer to your problems. But there's a spot where you're with her for so long that energy shifts. Because guess what? She's a human too. Also on her own journey. You get it? And now your being, which is now coveted her being, is now being an either a liberation or an interference on her soul journey. So now she becomes your worst. If you ain't ready to accept that responsibility, because women will say what women will naturally submit to you. That is her nature to submit. It's her nature, literally, to have sex. She has to submit. She just don't like the word submit, because it's triggering, but she has to. So she is going to, the more she has sex with you, she's going to encompass your energy. If you're not dedicated to the navigating of that energy, then you've just created a demon in your life. And that's what we experience. We go into these women, we have fun, and then all of a sudden they start looking at us like, yeah. And they ask the infamous question, what are we? And you're like, huh? You're laughing. Because it's true. Semo Kweli. Yeah. So, again, and what does that do? Now, what happens? You have a baby with that woman, and you just started a whole. You've started another journey of sexual violations. And you say, no, I didn't violate nothing. We consented. You're violating out of ignorance. Just because you're not aware you're violating doesn't mean you're not violating. We're violating each other out of ignorance. And so for me, I love sex so much. And I'm talking about the bang bang. I like the bang bang so much that I'm not willing to put myself in a position anymore that's going to ruin that experience for me. You get it? Because there's nothing worse, especially when you're aware, nothing worse doing that and you look at it and you know you shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't feel nice. It ruins everything. You had the best night of your life. You was slap dashing. You know what I'm saying? You're doing all kind of madness. And then afterwards, you got to be, I don't like that. That's not good. That ruins the experience. It's like making a cake and someone taking a shit on the cake just after you've licked the spoon. You know what I'm saying? The fuck? You can't have the cake anymore. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's go to questions. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? How would you describe the shift in your awareness in this new season? The veil is thin. What do you mean? Describe the shift in your awareness in this new season. You might have to elaborate. Oh, this is from our stories. Okay. For me, it's all about rhythm this season. I have just become a total observer of the game. And so the rhythm, I'm just seeing where the rhythm is calling me and I'm making sure I show up. And that's been really, really powerful. And just watching things unfold instead of me feeling like I need to like have this spirit of doubt where I'm rushing to get things done. Oh. Or rushing to attain things, or rushing to hold things, or rushing to own things. This is also another sexual problem we have, right? We see something we like, be it a woman or something, and we want to find the quickest way to own that thing, claim it, have power over it, and conquer it. This is a very Eurocentric behavior. You get it? We come from abundance. You get it? We come from abundance. You walk up and down the street, there's mango trees on this street for free. For free. This whole place is littered with neem. You don't even need a toothbrush. You just pick with this branch and am I lying? That's who we come from, abundance. When you come to Africa, there's no shortage of good-looking women. No shortage of good-looking men. There's none. No shortage. So what are you rushing for? There's no rush. This mindset that we have is coming from a people who are born in scarcity. Born into scarcity and lack. You watch the seasons. Everyone in your village can eat from a tree and even can't finish the fruit. Fruit has to rot. Am I lying? Fruit has to rot. Everyone will pick fruit. The dogs will even come. The monkeys, the birds. Fruit will still go off bad. That's how abundant it is. So what are we rushing for? What are we running? Why do we need to own anything? Why does anyone need to own anything when we clearly have everything? That's the mindset we need to get back to. And that's a big reason why I bring people back to the motherland, because you can't speak that into someone's head. You can't speak that into someone's head. You have to give them the physical experience where they're like, you give them, you know, you go to somewhere, you eat food, and then you realize the food is not stopping. It's coming, it's still coming. So you do that 3 or 4 times and you realize, oh, let me take my time. You know what I'm saying? Let me just, I'm good. You humble yourself. Because it's coming. There's no shortage. Whatever they want to tell you on TV, there's no shortage. So, the rhythm has become really important to me. Let's do questions. How can we let go of sexual blockages using Ma'at principles. Sexual blockages may be traumas. Woo-hoo-hoo! Pole, pole, kaka. Sawa. So, great question. How can we let go, remove ourselves from sexual blockages using the principles of Ma'at and the ones that are caused from traumas? Right. Are we ready to go there? Let me preface this with saying this. I really want whoever is really interested in going the distance of this sexual principles understanding as it pertains to Ma'at, I really strongly suggest you prepare yourself to join our Ma'at classes next month, when we're going to be exclusively focusing on sexuality, masculine and feminine, right? Because the responses I give you, to truly grasp them, it's going to need you to understand the 11 laws of the spirit and how they intimately work together, okay? So I'm just prefacing what I'm saying with that. So we're talking about releasing blockages, sexual blockages. Remembering, let's start off by saying sexuality is about the dance of masculine and femininity and how they come together to create power, right? It's the joining of those polarities, that's sexuality. So then when we're talking about sexual blockages, we are not just talking about the fact that I can't have sex with this girl in the room. You get it? We're not just talking about that, or my inability to, or your inability to accept a man into your body. When we're talking about sexuality, we're talking about the masculine and femininity and their ability to have harmony with each other. Okay, so sexual blockages, when we're talking about sexual blockages, we're talking about disharmony or the dis-ease of the polarities, the inability to have harmony. Okay, so the root cause, which we're talking about here, you said, was traumas. Traumas that have caused sexual blockages, and now that exists for so many of us. As it pertains to the laws of Ma'at, when dealing with traumas, the first law we have to understand, trauma and the traumas that have come into your life start at law number 5, karma, divine justice, which says God does not punish, God does not reward, and God does not protect. You will have the comfort of controlling all of those things for yourself. So therefore, the things that happen to you by way of so-called circumstances that are tragic, unfortunate, unforeseen, right, and absolutely disruptive in your life, the law of Ma'at states that that is divine justice. It was supposed to happen. If it wasn't supposed to happen, it could not happen to you. You get it? Whatever missed you was never supposed to get you, and whatever got you was never supposed to miss you. All right? Now, that is painful to hear when we don't have an understanding of the higher laws. Remember, I said karma and divine justice, and what we understand as trauma starts at number 5. That means we have 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 above that law to comprehend for that to even make sense. I'm answering your question very specifically with the hopes that you will go on this journey of understanding the higher levels of the spirit. Right? Now, say what again? I've said a lot. So let me know what you want me to say again or ask a question in the question box and I will answer your question, which will allow me to elaborate. So let's expand on higher levels of the spirit. Let's go higher, okay? Let's go to law number one. Law number one says, watch this. Law number one is called Asar, right? And it is the law that begins the spiritual journey. Law number one, I'm going to read. All right, family. So law number one says, your nature is an unconquerable peace. Therefore, nothing or no one in the world can be against you. Take a deep breath. I'll say that again. Your nature is an unconquerable peace. Therefore, nothing or no one in the world can be against you. All experiences come to you to promote your reclamation of that peace so that you may in turn acquire wisdom and power. Let's look at this practically. Right? Let's look at this practically. Oprah, it is known that as a child she experienced very violent abuse in her home, in her household. It is known that she was sexually abused and violated in her childhood growing up. And many people across the world experience such things. Oprah today stands as one of the most powerful women in the world, at least in entertainment, and definitely the richest. This isn't about money, but I want to use this as an example to explain something to you. That statement said, all experiences come to you that you may reclaim your peace so that in turn you may acquire wisdom and power. Everything that happens to you is only good or bad based on what you produce from that experience. The circumstances that meet you in your life, where you were born, who you was born around, the circumstances you're born into, the environment, you know, the situation that you didn't call on yourself, but it happened anyway. Those things that seem to follow you throughout your life, they are a part of your karma. And karma is not a bad thing. It is your story to help navigate you to your divine self, to your heavenly experience. The more and more you use or utilize all of those experiences, traumas, right, to your benefit, meaning, because this happened to me, I'm going to channel my focus on this, right? The more you do that is the more those traumas become super powers, super energetic engines in your life. So this idea of removal is not one that I personally ascribe to, but transmuting, redesigning, repurposing trauma is something that I live by. Repurposing trauma. Because you can't get rid of it. It's energy. It's an energy that has had a wild impact in your being. And you can't get rid of it. It's designed who you are. So therefore, you have every right and power to design it in your favor. You can't get rid of it, recycle it. Reuse it for something else. You get what I'm saying? You got a grill in your house and you don't eat meat no more? Put some aubergine on that grill. You know what I'm saying? You used to own a big truck and you got this big wheel in your house and you don't use gas no more. You don't want to use the truck. Fine, take the tire and use it for exercise. Turn it into a bench. You know what I'm saying? Turn it into a coffee table. Repurpose the trauma. Repurpose the energy. And then you will never want it to leave you. You will never want it to leave you. It will become your best friend. It will become your best friend. That demon will become an angel. You elevate that demon into an angel in your life. And then you'll look back at the person, the perpetrator of that energy, and you'll thank them. And you'll thank them. You'll thank them. Because they became the agent of your own heaven. Me, I look back at every racist person. Those people used to chase me down the street when I was leaving school. Those guys who are now leave house parties would run after me and my friends with knives, with poles, throw bottles at us, and we'd have to fight our way back home. Those guys who used to shout monkey out of their car and throw eggs at our house. Them man there who I just wanted to kill. I couldn't wait to grow up so I can find him. And he got said, I couldn't wait. Them people there, I look back at them, I'm like, large up them, man. Large them, big up them, because they put some rage in me. Woo! They put so much violence in my being. And then this is before I learned about who I am as a black. This is just me as a child. I don't know about slavery, colonialism, this systemic racism, white supremacy. I don't know nothing. I'm just like minding my business, listening to Backstreet Boys and Blackstreet. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going through this shit. Then you learn about slavery. Then you learn about colonialism. Then you get to of age and police are pulling you outside the car, putting guns to your face. I'm in school playing on the playground and police are coming with guns. Get on the ground. You ain't doing nothing. Those are my experiences. I give thanks for them experiences today because it's the reason why I sit in this heaven right now. It's the reason why no one can shake me off of that shit. Nobody. You get what I'm saying? It's the reason. So it's that rage is like, woo. Once you realize, put it this way. Once you realize you can't shake the energy. And this also goes with sexual inclination because we're still on the subject of sexuality. Right? Once you realize what you're looking at as trauma, what you're calling a demon, what you're calling the negative thing is just your inability to reimagine what you have. It's the elephant in the room, but why don't you paint the elephant? Sit on it, feed it, and go for a ride on the elephant. Why don't you do that? In the same way, these traumas, these demons, you can't get rid of them. They always come up. Fine, repurpose them. Use them for something. And this is where your creative power, law number 7, your imagination. Law number 7 is heteru, your ability to cultivate joy. When you get to law number 7 and 8, it's dealing with your mentality, your ability to design reality. Law number 7 is dealing with your visual thinking, your ability to cultivate joy in any circumstance. And this is what it is. Your traumas and those things that you've been through, yeah, are there. By the law, it's told you, the highest law, number 1, the second highest law, it's told you that you are made of an unconquerable peace. Nothing and no one can be against you. So if you're experiencing something as being against you, it just means you are limited in your ability to use that thing that's come to you to your own benefit. This is where sexuality becomes important. Because me, for example, I'm a very flirtatious person. I flirt with everything. You know what I'm saying? It's not only women that can get it. I flirt with everything. I love flirting with women. That's the natural thing, but it's easy. It's natural. It's like, it's not challenging. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't even think about it. It just happens. Because they're my natural counterpart. But then, on higher levels of the spirit, you flirt with your own trauma. You flirt with your demon. Say, yo, you come here. Help me with this. You know what I'm saying? You sitting there. Come and help me with this. That one is the different level of flirtation. Or you flirt with these lemons. Life keeps throwing lemons at you. And you're like, oh, okay. That's how you want to get into this. And you bend it over and show him what you're made of. You know what I'm saying? It's a different game, and that create the ability to do that is a form of flirtation. The ability to even look at a challenging situation differently is a form of flirtation. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a form of flirtation, and we do this as men as well. We like flirting with, and not just men, women do this. You flirt with the problem. We all flirt with people we know we don't really want to be with. You know, it's fun to flirt with women who I will never be with. That's more fun. In fact, I don't like flirting with women who I actually see something happening, not just sexually, but like someone who it's because it's dangerous. Because not even it will lead somewhere, is that I want you, you get it? If I don't have a plan for you, then I shouldn't, you get it? I'll flirt with someone who I know nothing's gonna happen. I'm like, ah. You get it? You just flirt because that's the best you can do. I don't have no other plans for you. We're here now. Let's flirt. You get what I'm saying? So in the same way, it's a challenge to flirt with the challenge. It's a challenge. It's fun to flirt with the negative thing that happened. That moment where that disrupt everything, and you got to sit back and be like, ah, alright, cool, let's go, let's play the game. You get it? That becomes a very fun game, you know, once we can go back to peace, because it's hard to do that if your emotion has gripped you. So once we're able to go back to peace, that becomes the way forward. Right, let me answer any last questions. Woo, someone asked, I think this is the last question. What are the dangers of sexual repression and solutions you would recommend? Okay, this is sick. This is a dope question. Naniski, yeah? So, the danger of sexual repression is sexual violation. And actually, this is what I'm really, one of the most important things I want to talk about is the danger of sexual repression is sexual violation. The more you repress yourself sexually, remember, I want to recount and say that sexuality is about the dance, the harmony of masculine and feminine. Right? And their ability to cultivate, to come together, to cultivate life. Right? That happens on every level of the spirit, not just where the penis is at. Right? So, sexual repression on all levels leads to sexual violations. You will sexually violate yourself. You become more vulnerable and susceptible to sexual violations because you are repressed sexually. Therefore, you will look for the nearest point of sexual entry. This is what leads us to be taken advantage of by people, places, and ideas that don't ultimately support who we are. So the dangers of sexual repression is sexual violations. The solution that I would recommend to sexual repression is sexual expression, right? Now, on the surface, someone might hear that and be like, well, I need to look for some vagina there. You know what I'm saying? Or if it's a woman, she'd be like, I need some dick. But again, that is the primary cause of sexual repression, because you're having sex at one level of the spirit, my darlings. People, watch this. Jesus, what do Jesus? And let me ask Jeff, since he's the only one who can respond. Actually, you lot can respond. What do Jesus, mushrooms, psychedelics and sex have in common? They're being misused. How?
They're being used for the wrong reasons, like an escape, let's say, like a temporary escape.
They're all being used as an escape for personal, spiritual responsibility. Right? When really, they all exist as tools to engage your spiritual, personal responsibility. Yeah? They're tools. But if you haven't accepted that you are in control of this shit, then they will only disturb your ability to do so. You see? So, the solution. Because it's like this. Let me stick on this point. The solution is this. You have to find a plethora of ways to engage yourself sexually outside of the physical act. And there's nothing wrong with the physical act at all. But if that is if you're doing that, but then you're not free, you're not expressing yourself in any other capacity, you're not able to see that masculine and feminine game in any other way, you stuck for manifesting your own reality. You can't use your imagination. You can't define. If you're not able to define your reality, if you're not able to cultivate joy in your life, if you don't understand your power to do so, if you don't know how to go back to peace, if you don't know how to use meditation to design your world, you're going to be sexually repressed. And guess what? This is why I believe the most intelligent of us, our scholars, the most, our best artists, they're sexually repressed because one aspect of them is liberated and every other aspect is in prison. You get what I'm saying? Right, we're nearly closing. I think I've gone over, but they haven't given me, there's no countdown here, so we're kind of good. But I got some other business. I hope that answers the question. We can go deeper and we will, family. This is a preface to the spiritual program that we're going to be going on to later on next month, right? African sex, the embodiment of masculine and feminine. So give us some examples other than physical, please. Physical what? Physical sex? Of course. Imagination. How do you bring about business? Business. 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 You can observe the sexual game in business. The idea that you have to... So on a physical level, sex is penis, and vagina, right? It's all about polarities. So to answer that question and say not physical, then you have to go to, well, what are the other sexual engagements? What are the other polarities that we can observe that's not vagina and penis? Right? Vagina and penis, boom. There is also responsibility and vulnerability. Are you responsible? What are you responsible for in your life? Do you allow yourself to be vulnerable? Are you responsible? Do you have a space where you are totally and utterly beyond emotion responsible? Do you have another space, right, where you can absolutely be vulnerable? That's sex. That's sexuality. Because it's the duality of those polarities coming together to form something new, which is your life, your wonderful life. You are the product of sexuality, and that's how you must look at it. Every sexual engagement must create something new within you and within your experience of this life. So business is a great one. Brother said praying and speaking. I would say prayer and meditation. Right? because one is about putting out, one is about being receptive, right? And so if you look, the laws are great for that. Yes, the law number 8 is about affirmation. Law number 7 is about imagination. Law number 9 is about receptivity. So this would be a sexual engagement, because this program requires number 9, which is the mother or set, to be receptive. These programs, right, requires this law to be receptive in order for us to experience it. You see, so number 9 represents meditation, visualization, and prayer. Number 8 would be prayer, the affirmation, visualization. Number 7, it represents the imagination. This is a sexual engagement. Are you using, not just reading this shit. I'm not talking about reading this shit. Oh, that's nice. No. Are you using these spiritual faculties in your daily life? Is it a part of how you are using, or are you waking up, right, and being ordered around by someone, being told what to do, where to go, how to dress, what to think, what capacity your thinking can take, what limits your thinking can go to? Is that your life? That will absolutely render you sexually repressed. If you are not allowed to trail the expanse of your imagination on a daily basis, and then based on that trail, put things into place so that you can physically experience in your body that which you have imagined, you are going to be sexually repressed. If you do not have an environment where vulnerability is absolutely the law and order, you will be sexually repressed. If you do not have a calling where you are totally submitted beyond emotional provocation to this particular responsibility, you will be sexually repressed. You get it? Does that make sense? Does that make sense, family? And you can go all the way up. If we do not make space for these aspects of this, this called the laws of the spirit. It's called the laws of the spirit, which means that whether we acknowledge it or not, like gravity, if you don't know what gravity is, it doesn't mean you don't fall. Just because you're ignorant of the law of gravity doesn't mean you will not fall. You will fall, and then someone will tell you, hey baby, there's something called gravity, and next time you should think about it before you take off the building. Now you're aware of the law. To throw yourself off of a building would be absolute sin. Before it was ignorance, now it's just sin. Do you get it? And so these laws are operating whether we see them or not, but now we can be aware of them. It gives us the ability to navigate our expression of them, and so that we're not repressed, and then we don't violate. Albert, I mean, the act of praying separately and the act of speaking separately are all sexual in themselves, because both utilize masculine and feminine forces. Exactly. 100%. So, family, woo, I'm hot. These clothes need to come off. Right now, we're sweating. We're going in. We in the motherland, family, and we are building, family. There's, like I said, we're creating spaces for our spiritual community, Waroho House, all of my people in the diaspora. I want to invite you to the motherland this year. Oh my gosh. Village Link Up this year, family, is going to be taking a tremendous turn, and I really want you guys to be a part of it. And a big part of why I'm teaching this stuff now is so that we can begin to have the awareness when we come into such spaces, because that awareness will allow us to see things and observe things about ourselves that otherwise we wouldn't be able to if the awareness wasn't there. And so it's a calling to anyone who wants to come this year. If you want to come again, karibu. But it's going to be wonderful family. We're working every day so that we have a safe space for us. A safe space for us to exist, family. My mission, the reason I created Waroho House in the height of the pandemic was so that I can begin to build a community that was dedicated to the living experience of Ma'at. And I said to myself that once that we established this community online, we would create a physical space for this community to exist. That is what is happening right now. So family, stay tuned. We are on this trajectory of sexuality. We've got a 21-day challenge coming up, which is going to be open for you guys to participate in. And we've got a spiritual game thereafter, all dealing with sexuality and our living of it as it pertains to the laws of Ma'at. If anyone would like one-on-one spiritual health coaching, I now have 3 spaces opened up, family, and I'm giving preferential rates to those within the community. If you like one-on-one coaching, hit me up, family, and let's get it in. I want to help you specifically with your journey. But this has been dope. I think I've done 2 hours, it looks like, but you know, who's counting in this beautiful rhythm that we're on? So lastly, family, I just want to say peace in, love out, and I'll see you again. Kesho. Asubuhi. Have a great one, family. Love.